food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, bringing you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events, Thursday, January 9th, 2014. Wendy Wilson will be joining us here in just a few short minutes, but first let's get right to the markets today. Yes, we're going to get right to the markets today. We have gold. Gold did all right today, 260 to the positive, 1229. Silver's up 4 pennies today at 1967. Platinum, 1424, unchanged. Palladium, 741, unchanged. And the USDX today is down a little bit, broke down below 81 at 80.93, down 0.13. Crude oil today was up. Broke 92 again, 92.39. And the paper markets today, you know, everybody's waiting for the December jobs report. So I hope they're not holding their breath, but we'll see. Dow is down 18 points at 16,444. The NASDAQ down 9 at 41.56. The S&P basically unchanged, 0.62 up at 18.38. And the 10-year yield is still, liking the high 90s, 2.96 for the 10-year yield. And, they said the deep freeze that we had this week is costing the U.S. economy about $5 billion.
Well, that's probably a good thing. That means we are stimulating the economy by breaking pipes, having wrecks, automobiles. I talked to a woman, or a friend of mine sent me an email. She fell down on the black ice, and I think she tore a rotator cuff, so we're going to be making more money for the doctors. And she said everybody on her block actually slipped on the ice during the last ice storm here in Dallas. And so the economy, you know, all of these little problems, you know, they're unfortunate, but they probably work to stimulate the economy. So,
well, it kind of makes you wonder when they talk about it that as people that it cost the U.S. economy $5 billion, you'd think that it would also, as you mentioned, would stimulate it to some degree as far as, you know, the extra, because I know there's been a lot of damage done by this storm.
I agree. I'm half joking about what I said, but the truth of the matter is it's like war. You know, what bigger problem can you have than war? And yet war is what essentially got us out of the Great Depression.
Mm-hmm.
We went into World War II, and that's what dragged us. Otherwise, the Great Depression might have lasted another decade or another 5 years. Who knows how long it would have lasted, but the war dragged us out. In a sense, the problems, you know, it's contrary to what everyone would suppose and like to believe, but sometimes major problems force us to get to work and force us out of economic malaise. So maybe there's a silver lining.
Maybe.
To all these problems.
Maybe.
Well, or maybe it's a fiat currency lining. We don't actually have silver for lining our clouds, our problem clouds anymore, but we have fiat dollars. So maybe we have a fiat dollar lining. Buddy, what do you think?
Well, maybe. Maybe. But I do know that because it's deep winter, we need to talk about the immune system. And since this country has an aging population, Wendy Wilson is here from Apothecary Herbs to tell us what that is all about.
Well, Wendy.
Wendy, hi, Al. How you doing? Happy New Year to everybody. Yeah,
Happy
we've
New
got
Year.
Memory. We have memory problems. You know, I call it brain wipe. It's almost like, you know, your memories are wiped clean. Seems to be a problem, not only with you know, the elderly, but with the youth of America. Hey, Al, Melanie, do you remember experts led us to believe that, you know, the little forgetfulness and the confusion, probably normal signs of aging, right? Remember that?
Yes.
And do you remember modern science?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I get that. See, this is a normal sign, though.
Okay.
Or is it a normal sign?
Well, modern science also has us to believe that, you know, they were saying you were born with all your brain cells and you didn't replace or regenerate those cells. But now science is recanting that and say they've discovered your brain does indeed repair, regenerate, and grow new brain cells. So what's up with all the memory loss, right? Well, some things that can negatively affect our brain and our ability to recall information, aside from growing old, include consuming too much alcohol, smoking, drugs, prescription and recreational, which we'll get into some of those specifics in a minute, head trauma, infections, thyroid disease can make you lose your memory, stroke, excessive stress, of course, sleep deprivation, if you tend to be depressed, and you're nutrient deficient in B12, and of course, if you're suffering from Alzheimer's disease, of course. So those are some of the major things, but I see a big, big, big connection, a big link to memory loss and prescription meds, Al, Melody.
Well, I can't say I'm surprised.
Well, yeah. It's not inevitable that you're going to lose your memory when you grow old. There's plenty of folks out there. They're listening right now that have full cognitive functions, and we say they're sharp as a tack. You know, I had an uncle that was sharp as a tack. If you went to a party with him, you know, like a family reunion or whatever, and there was like 200 people in the room, he could introduce you to everybody there. He knew everybody's name. And I couldn't say that.
Now, was he really sharp as a tack, or was he more like an idiot savant?
No.
You know, kind of like Rain Man, where he knows a few things with great depth and everything else he's oblivious to? I'm joking.
I know. I think he was just a curious mind. He always had a active mind, and it's like a muscle. He kept exercising it.
Yeah.
And he was just, you know, unlike his peers, he wasn't taking prescription medicine. So I think that was another part of it. So many prescription meds are interfering with memory and wiping it clean like a slate. So folks that are taking heart medicines for blood pressure and cholesterol drugs, those people within a short period of time find themselves difficult with memory, you know, kind of like having, they call them those senior moments, you know, they just have a brain fart, as they say. But also what affects memory and your cognitive ability to stay engaged, if you're taking anti-anxiety drugs, the benzodiazepines, And those things are also prescribed, Al, for things other than anxiety. They'll prescribe them for depression, of course, but muscle spasms as well, insomnia, agitation, and even seizures. So the problems with these meds is that they tend to build up in the patient's system, and they cause more serious conditions like delirium, and they can even increase the patient's risk of having an accident. So those heart drugs that cause the memory problems are the statin drugs, the cholesterol drugs. So if you know somebody that's on Lipitor, Lescol, Mevacor, Pravacol, Crestor, or Zocor, they're probably having trouble with their memory. Do you know of anybody like that, Al?
I can't remember. What did you say those? Am I taking any of those drugs, Melody?
You should.
Well,
In fact, I don't take any drugs. I haven't had a prescription drug. Last time I had an antibiotic back in the 1980s,
uh-huh.
And that's the only prescription drug I've had since I got out of the Army in 1967. So it's been a long time, but I don't take any.
You may be wondering, Al, Melody, and the listeners may be wondering, why does this happen when they're taking these heart medicines? Well, these drugs tend to reduce the cholesterol, of course, which is really necessary for the brain to function. The brain uses cholesterol for connections between the nerve cells, and they're vital for memory and learning functions in the brain. So not all cholesterol is bad, and the brain is the organ of the body that contains one quarter of the body's cholesterol. So, but the good news is the brain, memory loss issue, that side effect is reversible when patients stop taking those drugs. And that was published in the Journal of Pharmacology in 2009.
And you're saying, now when you say reversible.
Yeah.
Let's say, we'll just put on a scale and I have a certain amount of memory loss. Right? And I'm not sure if I have more than I ever had or if I'm just more sensitive to the idea. You know, as you get older, when you're a kid, you don't care. You know, what's his face? You know what I'm talking about. You know, we don't try to be precise when we're children. But as you get older and you can't remember somebody's name,
mm-hmm.
It didn't bother you when you were a kid, but today it's, oh, my gosh.
I know. What? So it's almost like, I remember my grandmother, she had several kids. She was one of 13 kids. But when she was trying to tell us about a relative, she'd go through all the names until she hit the name. It's sort of like, go through the alphabet, Grandma. You'll get there. But,
you learn to deal with it. But here's the question I have. Mm-hmm. For whatever degree of memory loss I've incurred, I'm a senior citizen and so on. And there's got to be, I'm sure there's been some memory loss. I mean, I don't doubt there's been some. You're telling me how much of that memory loss can be regained, per se?
Yeah.
What percentage? I mean, regardless of whether I've lost little or a lot, how much of it can be offset? All of it? Some of it? Do you have any idea on percentages or something you don't know yet?
If you were taking some of those meds we just mentioned and stopped taking those meds, the memory loss you lost while on the drugs would be reversed 100%, okay? But if you're not taking drugs and you're starting to see some memory loss, then it may be something else. It may be an over-the-counter med, which we're also going to list in a minute.
No, I don't take any of them.
Okay.
I take vitamins. But I haven't had any drugs in my body in so long. Well, that may be a bad sign. I don't remember the last time I took any conventional drugs. But that may be evidence that maybe I took some this morning and I forgot all about it. Let me ask you this. I've heard that coconut oil is conducive to restoring brain function.
Yep.
And it has something to do with rebuilding neurons, if I understand correctly.
Absolutely.
And presumably, if I recall correctly, it's supposed to be able to offset Alzheimer's and postpone Alzheimer's. If you're predisposed to that, it may be able to give you some additional years without the problem. What do you know about coconut oil? Is my understanding at all valid or is it mistaken?
No, it's great stuff. Omega-3 fatty acids, but you're also going to want to make sure that when you take that, you take some natural B's with it. The B vitamins are going to help the neurotransmitters of the brain. It's part of the central nervous system, and the central nervous system actually functions on B vitamins. So it's a good idea. A lot of elderly people, they don't start eating so well. Maybe they're living alone or they're not cooking for themselves really well. So it's a nutritional thing, as well as it could be a pharmaceutical thing if you're taking anything. So nutrition is going to be a huge factor. You're spot on with that. So you can layer in some coconut oil, obviously, with some natural B vitamins, not the synthetic ones, though, and you'll be good. You'll be good to go. It may take a few weeks or even a month for you to see a pickup in your memory, but you will see it. But I really want to mention, though, memory loss isn't just for us old folks here. The youth of America are having memory problems. There's a new study out of the UK that was published in the Journal of Psychopharmacology, and they were testing some young folks, because the young people are using recreational drugs like cocaine and ecstasy, and it's producing a huge brain wipe for those folks there. It can also cause cardiac and respiratory arrest, so it's a dangerous area. So they studied these subjects taking these drugs, and what they found is it affects certain areas of the brain for them. Their planning, organizing, and multitasking areas of the brain were impaired. They also, the drugs seem to affect their time-based perspective of memory. In other words, they wouldn't have an accurate recall of events. Also, their frontal lobe of the brain that deals with self-awareness is kind of shocked a little bit or subdued. So their area of the brain that deals with empathy is also reduced, and the area of the brain that regulates your cardiac function is suppressed. So this is why a lot of times these kids come up with heart attacks. So drugs, whether it's recreational or prescription, really need to do your homework on that.
Yeah, I understand. They're all just obviously dangerous. You run risks, and when you're young, you assume you can get by those risks. You can overcome them and so on. But you get older, you get more sensible. You realize this is not a good idea, and you have to wonder who is making a lot of this possible. I'm not talking about those people dealing illegal drugs, but the main pharmaceuticals that you mentioned, if they really have a significant effect on people's minds and their ability to remember things, I'm wondering, who is really responsible and what controls keeping this, allowing these drugs onto the market?
Well, it's all about control and greed, if you ask me.
I agree.
Another big market, before we run out of time, I want to mention this to the listeners. Another big market is the incontinence market, where people are having bladder control issues. So there are some over-the-counter products for this, and there's also some prescribed products, but these also interfere with the neurotransmitters. What they do is the drugs try to block those neurotransmitters, so it calms down the nerve endings of the bladder wall, so you don't have that urgency to go. Unfortunately, the neurotransmitters are necessary for memory, cognitive functions, and things like that. So people that are on these incontinence drugs tend to have attention deficit problems, confusion, short-term memory, and even toxicity can build up in the system where they can even get dementia and delirium from it. So that's a problem. And also, people out there are on digestive aid products like the Xanax, Tagamet, Pepcid. These drugs, these stomach medications, can produce a rapid onset of confusion or delirium because some people have a low tolerance level for these medications, and they're very, very toxic. So wanted to mention that too.
How do we wean ourselves from these kinds of drugs? I don't think you're recommending that people just automatically stop taking certain drugs. I don't think that's what you're saying on the program or what you're implying. But still, they have to be aware of the problem. If you're taking a particular drug, one of the drugs you've mentioned, and you've noticed memory loss, then it may be that there's a correlation between that drug and the memory loss. What do you do about that? Do you simply stop taking the drug? Do you consult your physician to see if there is if the association is credible? Do you take a little less of the drug each day? How do you deal with the problem?
Absolutely. You do want to go about it a safe way. If you want to look at an alternative to the prescription drug, which you may suspect is causing a memory problem, there's a whole slew of drugs. We just had the tip of the iceberg, Al. There's the drugs for COPD, diabetes, all kinds of things. So you want to research your medicine. You do want to talk to your doctor. And if you want to look for natural things, you want to do your homework there as well. I don't recommend anybody that's been on a medication for more than a month or more than 3 months even do you see it cold turkey. You might want to do a gradual weaning process where it's kind of like a seesaw. As you reduce the prescription, you increase the natural items. So it's a very subtle change so the body won't object. So you want to definitely be sharp about that and regain your memory and also strengthen the system. I mean, I don't think, you know, lifelong drugs, that drug dependency is considered a cure, really. I think it's just disease.
Well, we have to find a cure for Frank's piano playing, because he's running bumper music right now, which means you got to give us contact information, and we have to bid you adieu.
Alrighty, they can call the folks at Apothecary Herbs toll-free at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or they can visit the website, thepowerherbs.com. Thanks, guys.
All right, Wendy, thank you. Talk to you next Thursday. Bye-bye. All right, folks, we're going to take a break on Financial Survival for a moment and some commercial announcements. I'll be back with Melody Cederstrom in about 3 minutes. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Melody?
I hear an echo.
Yep. I hear it also. So let's hope that Frank, whatever Frank is doing up there, is he's going to make that stop. Yeah, he did. He just made it stop. See, I know this is Frank making these echoes. I don't understand what he's doing or how he's doing it. But Frank, we're going to get you for that. You understand? This is like the second or maybe even the third day. I can't remember anymore. And speaking of memory, we were talking about memory problems here just a moment ago. You know, the memory loss is actually quite quite prevalent among congressmen and senators and government officials and other criminals when they're brought into court and they're compelled to testify and they say, I have no recollection of that event. Huh? They're not lying, and you can't prove that they – how can you prove? So we have other causes for memory loss besides drugs. Sometimes prosecution causes people to suffer memory loss also. We've got a caller. Melody, did you want to add something right now?
Well, let's go ahead and get to the caller first.
Okay, let's do it. We'll take Jim from West Virginia. Jim, are you there?
Oh, I'm half here. Does that count?
Good.
Okay. You stated that the World War II brought about a depression. Bob Chapman also used to say that until I took him to task, believe it or not. And he stopped.
Aha, uh-huh. So you're the one who's responsible. Bob never got over that. You know that, Jim. You took task. And...
Big alligator recently lost him.
So now you're going to take me to task also. Is that true?
No, I'm going to clarify everything. No tasking here.
All right. Go ahead, clarify.
Okay. The Federal Reserve took, if you let me roll with this, I'll tie together a pretty little neat package. Okay, 1914, Federal Reserve took over. And they arranged that the Lusitanian sank. Only the Americans were dumb enough to believe the German commander would have it sunk like Kaiser Wilhelm. But did American people believe that? And they also believed the lie that the Germans would be over here if they took Europe. All of Europe would be against us. Not another lie. But, okay, Roaring Twenties. The Federal Reserve came up with a whole lot more currency. Eased credit, low interest rates, a whole lot more currency. They had gold to back up. So what happened is they crashed the economy starting in 29. Now, what the New World Order was doing, and my dad was amongst the intellectual elite at Cornell during World War II, and this is where he learned what the deal was. But they bought up a share at a time all those different industries which could be turned into war material industries. Okay? They even bought things like Singer sewing machine because they could make guns. Okay, so they then marched us into World War II, and they flooded the place with currency again because a $6,000 house before World War II became a $12,000 house after World War II. In a short span of 3 or 4 years, bam, all that currency came into place. Now, let's go forward to the Vietnam War. Oh, yes. They said the Roaring Twenties was because we won the war. We won the war. War is good for the economy. Same thing happened after World War II. Now, there's a factor that after World War II, we bombed a lot of Europe and Japan back to a few decades. So we were the source of goods, manufactured goods. But once again, good times because we won the war. We won the war. Okay, come up to the 60s, Vietnam. Inflating the currency to pay for the war. Oh, yes, we can have guns and butter, too. So that yanked the silver out of the economy. So now, but there's this myth that war is good for the economy. We've been at war since what? 15 years, 13, 14 years now?
I'd say we've been through war, been at war or preparing for war in war for probably most of the time I've been alive.
Me too. But
I mean, it would be interesting to calculate how many years since World War II have we not been engaged in a war? When you figure Korea and Vietnam and Iraq and Afghanistan and I don't know how many other Dominican Republic and Haiti and I don't know how many places we can point to where we've how much time have we not been engaged in at least an insignificant war or perhaps a major war in the last 60 years?
I agree, but the point is this. Wars bleed the economy. It bleeds lives. It bleeds money. It bleeds interest. It creates debt. So war is evil for the economy.
No, I agree. I agree war is wrong. I'm just arguing that we just touched on that argument that the war allegedly removed us from the Great Depression. And there may be some truth to that. It's not entirely a false statement. It's a bad statement, perhaps, and it's an incomplete statement. I'll give you that. But there's some, you know, it takes, you got to put people to work to build tanks. It creates a demand where none, where a demand might otherwise not be found. And I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm not advocating it, but I'm just saying.
Right, but you see, but there was a big thing, Roaring Twenties. That's because we won the war, we won the war. Yeah. No, because they cut loose the currency. And the reason why they had slammed the gold shut on America is because they print too dang much paper. So bottom line is very simple. If you will understand that we've been lied to about war's good for the economy, it just bleeds it and kills it. And God, you know, my mother said, and my Latin professor who knew nine languages, Dr. Laszlo Borsay, leading Christian figure in Czechoslovakia, he said, armies are made up of ignorant, deceived young men, led by evil old men. And if young men will learn to tell old men to fight their own wars, we will be
able to.
And he said a lot of things. He said, George Washington, your George Washington was the lead. He led the troops. Dictators goad them from behind.
Yeah, I know. It's always the way it is.
Another myth. Another myth, 1820s, Monroe Doctrine. Oh, let's keep those evil Europeans out of America. No. Monroe Doctrine, 1820s, I don't remember, 1820-something. That was to put our troops into all these little colonies all over the New World to make sure that their proper banking families stayed in control.
We were here to help those little communities to protect them from the evil Europeans, just as the government is today here to help us. They are putting people on the streets and with guns and whatever, and they're here to help us, just as they once helped the people of Nicaragua and Guatemala and Mexico and God knows how many other countries. Our country, our government does a lot of helping, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, but you see, the myth is that we were protecting these countries from these evil Europeans.
No, I get that.
We ensconced ourselves there, and we ensconced ourselves all over the world to protect the evil bankers. Now, what they do is they find and fund a man of the people to lead the revolution, and they fund him with the same banking establishment. This is how they kept the colonies under their control with revolution after regime change after name change, dictators, communism, who cares? But this is going on to this day, and I just hope and pray we can bust a few more myths. Do you want to
Yeah, I agree with you. It's the first step in regaining some semblance of liberty and freedom in this country is you have to be able to cut loose from certain ideas that we have been conditioned to embrace and celebrate. For example, I see it all the time, get behind the troops, support the troops. If people really want to support the American soldier, first thing you got to do is stand between those soldiers and the government that would march them off to war after war after war. It's not enough to sit back and say, well, my country, right or wrong, that doesn't get it done.
Do you want to bust
it up? You want to support the country, you got to support it when it's right, and you got to get in the way when it's wrong. And you can't just march. We turn the military into a cult where we kind of worship the military, and whatever they do, oh, we've got to support it. No, we don't. And if we didn't, if we were not guilty of irresponsibly supporting the government every time they want to go to war, we'd have a lot more veterans who were intact, and they weren't suffering from post-stress traumatic syndrome, and they weren't wounded or maimed or dead. You want to support the troops? Keep them out of the wars. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, those wounded veterans real good for the economy. Now, I'm going to ask you this quiz time for Alfred. What's the definition of a crime?
Well, it's the essence of the crime is the intent. All right,
okay.
You can do damage to property and maybe just an accident. If you do the damage intentionally, if you do the same damage intentionally, it's a crime.
Okay.
It can be damage to property, it can be damage to people, so on, but the intent is the essence of the crime.
Okay, what's your definition for a criminal?
A man who intends to do bad things. He knowingly, he does bad things. It's a kind of evil. It's not an accident. He didn't accidentally shoplift. He didn't accidentally shoot someone. He intended to do it. He knew it was wrong, and he did it anyway. That's a criminal. I mean, otherwise, you could have children that do bad things, but they're not criminals. They don't intend to do it. They're just in the process of exploring their world.
When I was 3 years old, I was playing with my sister's toys while she was at school. I had been told a number of times not to do this. My mother was quite angry with me. And she hit me with this one, oh, it's a criminal, and I told her what bad guys did. She said, well, what a criminal is anybody who takes control of that which belongs to somebody else. Now, that's common law definition of a crime, the criminal. The Hamburg Review of Common Law, the definition of a crime. Now, the crime is a description of the damage done. You broke one of your sister's toys. That's the crime. So a crime is a description of the damage done to another living man or woman. And a criminal is anyone who takes control of that which is not theirs. When I was in school, I remember the 68 gun law said, my God, they're taking control of people's guns. And every dang law we've had in my adult life, at least, has been where the government came in and took control. They weren't getting control. If you give me control of your car, Alfred, that's one thing. If I take control, I stole it.
I understand that.
Oh, you own a power plant. Oh, we're going to walk in and we're going to shut it down. or who from you know where are you to walk in and take control of my power plant, destroy my income, destroy the electricity coming out of it, destroy the incomes of the employees. Now, if we were to say every hour, and again, every other patriot to say this, a criminal is anyone who takes control of that which is not his, that which belongs to another. Yeah, you want to start a movement? You can do it with that, Alfred.
Well, it would definitely be, that's contrary to the government's interests. Your definition is certainly contrary to the government's interests, and I believe you're correct. They're taking control of where they're not entitled. And they are specifically prohibited from taking control in a lot of instances by the Constitution, and they just ignore it. They come in under the pretext of commerce, interstate commerce, emergencies. They've got a bunch of pretexts. But the truth is, they're stealing control, and in the process of doing that, they're stealing our freedom and our liberty and our wealth, and we are all paying for it. It might be right that we pay for it insofar as we are too apathetic to resist these power grabs. Too ignorant, too apathetic. We let them take our ice cream, and then we complain that they take our ice cream. You know, somewhere along the line, you got to stand, you got to fight these people. Jim, we got to turn you loose and move on a little, unless you want to add something quickly right now.
Very quickly. Okay, when I was in ninth grade, my parents heard that the school definition of a criminal was anybody who broke a law, and a crime was anything the government said was a crime, and they went ballistic. I didn't understand it then. I do now. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Yeah. Yep, I understand. Thank you, Jim. What do you think, Melody?
Great comment.
Crimes are usurpation of control without real authority. Do you think that's a crime?
You bugged out on me there. I couldn't hear the whole thing that you were saying, but I definitely do believe.
No.
Pardon?
Go ahead.
I'm losing you, so.
Okay. I don't know why I can hear you. I could hear Jim. What can I tell you? Go ahead. Is there something you wanted to say, add, or go off in another direction right now?
No. I think you guys said it all.
All right. Let's do this jobless aid package runs into Republican roadblocks. Here's something from the Washington Examiner. A day after the Senate advanced a bill that would extend federal jobless benefits, the measure hit unyielding Republican resistance Wednesday, with both the House and Senate GOP demanding that the extension's $6.4 billion price tag be offset by budget cuts. I saw something flashing around here, and it makes me wonder if these things are still functioning properly or not. The fight puts passage of the extension in jeopardy in the Senate, where a majority of Democrats need Republican help in advancing the bill to the final vote. And in the House, the Republicans have no plans to even consider the Senate proposal. What they're saying, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican Kentucky, said if the majority leader wants this bill to pass the Senate, he's likely going to have to find a way to pay for it. And what the Republicans are simply saying is if you want to extend unemployment insurance for the long-term unemployed, if you want to extend that, somebody's got to come up with the money. And it can't just be a situation where we just say, oh, let's just pass the bill and then we'll figure it out later and we'll round up the money somehow. We'll either borrow the money for it or we'll raise taxes on the taxpayers. We'll get the money someplace. The Republicans are saying, nope, we're not going to get the money someplace. You're going to have the money before we pass the bill. And you're going to probably get the money by cutting a pre-existing government program in order to come up. We're going to cut one program in order to have enough money to support this new unemployment extension program. And the question then becomes, is this a good idea that the government will not, cannot pass more legislation unless they find a way of cutting previous legislation in order to come up with the money for the new legislation? Should the money always come from the taxpayers, or should money sometimes come from essentially previous government programs? We'll try to answer that question when we return. In about 3 minutes, we're going to take a commercial break. Alfred Addis, Melody Cederstrom, Financial Survival. Be right back. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Yep. See, we've got the double. We've got the. But Frank caught that now.
Well, let's just go on.
I could hear myself laughing back at myself. I'm curious. Do you think I was laughing at me or with me, Melody?
Both.
Both. All right. Yeah. We've had interesting problems throughout this program, and I think it has to do with when we started off talking about memory loss. I think there's something about talking about memory loss that brings on those kinds of problems. And we've had some technical problems and had some memory loss problems, but we are going to persist. Before we broke, we were simply talking about the jobless aid package runs into Republican roadblocks. It's the headline from the Washington Examiner. And asking, the Republicans are saying, look, if you want to pass this job extensions program, all right, we'll go along with that, provided that you Democrats show us where the money's coming from. And the Republicans are at least implicitly saying, we're not going to borrow any more money for it. We're not going to raise taxes to support it. So what you're going to have to do here, if you want to extend the jobless benefits, you are going to have to take money out of existing government programs. And I think this is an interesting dilemma for the Congress. I think it's the kind of situation that Congress hates. I suspect they may much prefer gridlock, because if they're caught in a situation where in order to give more money to the jobless, they have to take money away from someone else who's receiving money right now from the government, then they're going to make some enemies. It's great to be Santa Claus, where you just hand out free gifts and free money to everybody, and everybody loves you because they're getting something free, or at least seemingly so. But when we run out of our ability to borrow, and we run out of our ability to tax, in order to give some money to Group A, we've got to take some money away from Group B. And while it may be that Group A will love us because we gave them something for nothing, Group B will hate us because we cut their subsidies or their welfare. So the government's caught in a very strange situation. Do they want to, or at least they're, I won't say they're caught yet, but they're getting close to that, where they have to choose. They're going to have to make hard choices. And these choices won't simply be made on the basis of bribery, and they won't be simple to make, and they're bound to make enemies and adversaries. And I don't think Congress wants to do it. It wouldn't surprise me if the two parties prefer a condition of gridlock in Congress, which is blamed on the parties. The Republicans blame the Democrats blame the Republicans. But individual incumbent congressmen are not blamed for gridlock. They point the finger at somebody else, and people seem to accept that. But if individual congressmen support a particular bill that causes money to go from Group B and be given to Group A, and it's obvious and apparent, they're going to make enemies out of Group B. And I don't think they want to do that. And they might prefer gridlock just because they don't actually have to make hard choices. And sit back and say, oh, we can't vote on it because those idiot Democrats. And the Democrats say, oh, we can't do it because the idiot Republicans. But they don't have to take responsibility in the context of gridlock. We are led to believe, we've been led to believe for most of my lifetime, that the solution to all problems is government. And if at any time there's a problem, the solution is let government handle it, and we will just give government more of our money in the form of taxes, and the government will somehow solve the problem, although we may have to pay more taxes, and government will have to grow in size and cost. But we're getting to a point where the government can't grow much more. They can't borrow much more. The only reason they have any money to spend at all is because they get it from the Federal Reserve and they print it. They're not able to borrow much on the international or national market. They can't raise taxes because the economy is already fragile because of the Great Recession or whatever condition we're in right now. They can't tax. They can't borrow. Where are they going to get the money? How do they grow? We may be reaching a point where government can't grow much anymore. And this, I think that's wonderful. I think maybe we've finally hit the limit. And folks in government are now faced. How do they tell the voters, gee whiz, we can't support you. You people are actually going to have to go out and get your own jobs and conduct your own business. We may not even be able to afford to regulate you people. You may have to be responsible for your own actions and for the products you purchase and so on. What's happening, Melody? Are we being forced to become independent and self-reliant?
I don't think so. As much as that would be a good thing, I don't think that is happening. I mean, with the fiat dollar, they could continue to back any type of program so that they do. But I think what you said very important when we talk about gridlock. You're right. No one needs to make a decision, a hard decision. It gives them the illusion that they're fighting for something.
Yeah,
but
I know.
Instead,
it's like professional wrestling or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Just a shadow drama.
And that's what I'll use Cruz as an example. Fine young man, talks the talk. But they don't have to walk the walk.
Yeah.
It's here saying, here I am here doing this, and this is right, and we're trying to do something. But yet they know what it's going to create, the gridlock, knowing that they don't have to really make that hard decision. So, again, it's just and people are so fooled or so misled.
Easily deceived.
So naive, yes.
I understand. I'm not absolutely certain how naive people are. There's a level of awareness, but it's hard to know. Are we dealing with naivete, apathy, indifference, ignorance? Whatever it is, the public has not yet been motivated in a meaningful way to regain some semblance of freedom and liberty in this country. Some efforts have been made. Gun control, the gun rights people, they're standing up. They're doing what they can to hold on to their end of the spectrum, but not many other groups or that are focused on part of the spectrum, the political spectrum, have been able to have similar success.
They're having bits and pieces of success. Mm. However, there's little by little, state by state, It's did you see the pictures of the lines in Connecticut, the long lines of men standing there, look ready to register their guns? And I'll guarantee you that you ask 50% of the population, what's the problem with registration? Do you think it's a good idea? Many of them will say yes.
Yeah, I get it. I understand.
What's wrong with it?
Well, what's wrong with it? It depends. It depends on, you know, there's a point to it. It's a difficult issue. That's the reality of it. Do you want unregistered guns that can't be traced? They are conducive to crime. If you can't keep track, it's better. I have to admit, it's better to keep track, have the weapons where they can be identified. I think that's helpful and desirable. But it has to be absolutely, allow them to be regulated, fine, but not to be seized. Right? It has to be done under the proviso, even though they're registered, they cannot be seized by government. We know who owns it, but still the Second Amendment protects you. We know you got a gun, but the Second Amendment protects your right to keep that gun no matter what. Right? If you've got to have registration also, well, maybe you do. It's difficult. It's a difficult question, though, and it's not an easy answer. But if I had to choose between registration and enforcing the Second Amendment and the right to keep and bear arms, keep and bear the arms. I don't care about the registration. Registration might be helpful under some circumstances, but the truth of the matter, when I stop to think about it, is how many instances do you suppose we see in a year's time where a crime is solved? A murderer is convicted, and even a murder is prevented simply by virtue of knowing the number on a pistol. I doubt that registration has much positive effect in stopping crime. I don't doubt it has some effect. I don't doubt it has some effect on catching criminals. But I'll bet you on balance, you register 100,000 pistols, and how many of those pistols are going to show up where the registration number is important to determining who's responsible for a crime? I doubt that it's very many. Handful, be my guess. So you could probably do without it, but you got to have that Second Amendment. Got to maintain that Second Amendment. And if you're smart, you'll go after and you'll protect the Ninth Amendment and the Tenth Amendment and learn the amendments, where you can sit back and speak about them a little bit and understand what's involved and stand up for your future and for your children's future and so on. If we won't do it, we've got significant trouble headed our way. What's next, Melody?
What would you like to talk about, Al? I do want to remind the listeners, we got some great prices on our coins. We got great shipping. Well, I'll compare prices with anyone online. And make sure you're comparing apples to apples with our prices. There's a lot of confusing online websites. They offer all these different types of prices, a breakdown, but they eliminate the shipping and the quality of the coins. And, of course, all their testimonies are just, of course, you know, how great and wonderful they are. So that's a little misleading. So just be careful and be sure you're comparing apples to apples. I saw where there, you know, this one website, when you really get down to it, they put their little sticker on a tube of gold eagles certifying that these are really from the U.S. Treasury, and they'll charge, I don't know, $5-$10 more for them. It's like, well, I have a printer. I can do the same thing and charge you an extra, you know, so many dollars above the regular cost just for my, it means absolutely nothing. But
you're not talking about charging an extra $5 per
just for the length
roll. You're talking about charging an extra $5 per coin or for the entire roll?
Per coin.
Yeah, I understand. So you're talking $50 for the roll if it's 10 and, an extra $50. So
always compare our prices, folks. And, you know, and as long as it's a legitimate price, we'll go ahead and we'll match it. So give us a call. We love your support. And again, a lot of our large part of our commissions go right back into various programmings, various other hosts that we support, because I believe I have a lot of faith and trust into these people. They bring you the truth. So it's very important. And so we thank you for your support. Visit our website at dgscoins.com. DGScoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter.
All right, Melody, we talked, I think last week for the first time, but certainly earlier this week and maybe the end of last week, I don't recall clearly. That's not because of memory loss. It's just I don't remember everything and never have. You understand? Doesn't mean I'm getting older just because I can't remember what we talked about last week. But we did talk about one subject, and that was the idea that Obamacare is such a disaster that the Obama administration will do almost anything to avoid talking about it. All right, they're trying to stay as far from Obamacare as is possible. And this was an article I read from, I don't know, the Washington Times or somewhere along, observed that Obama wanted to stay away from Obamacare, and we speculated at that time that Obama might therefore start to advocate programs that he knew were going to hit hot buttons, that he knew were going to distract people from thinking about Obamacare and force them to think about some other issue. And we speculated, was that possible? And since then, we've seen reports that Obamacare wants to advocate for more gun control. Well, you know that's going to make all the people who are supporting the Second Amendment, it's going to make them angry, it's going to make them passionate, they're going to focus on whatever Obama has to say about gun control, and as they do, that energy is diverted from Obamacare. Well, here's another one. Obama still demands citizenship. This is from ABC News, and it reports that in recent weeks, both Obama and House Speaker John Boehner, Republican Ohio, have sent signals that raised expectations among overhaul supporters that that 2014 could still yield the first comprehensive change in immigration laws in three decades. If successful, it would fulfill the Obama promise many Latinos say is overdue. His agenda, meaning Obama's, tattered by last year's confrontations and missteps, President Obama begins 2014 clinging to the hope of winning lasting legislative achievement, an overhaul of the immigration law. What's he mean by an overhaul? He means a suspension of enforcement. And he is going to antagonize people across the country. This is a hot-button issue, and everybody's going to look at him. Some are going to look at the Second Amendment, and some are going to look at immigration. And as they do, they won't see Obamacare. I don't know what's going to happen to Obamacare, but it's not impossible that it could expire under the weight of its own incompetence this year. We are out of time, and that means we've got to say bye-bye to all the ladies and gentlemen who've been listening to the program. Thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.